You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
You're listening to Vitamin Geek.
Vitamin Geek.
Vitamin Geek.
Vitamin Geek.
You are totally listening to Vitamin Geek.
You are listening to Vitamin Geek.
You're listening to Vitamin Geek.
Vitamin Geek Podcast.
What the hell's the name of the show again?
Vitamin Geek.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Sorry about November. I was absent doing birthday holiday stuff. It's Vitamin Geek Podcast. Back from the dead again. I'm your host, Corey Keelan, and tonight, being as it's December in the year of our Lord 2018, we're going to be talking about Christmas-themed horror films, and I'm joined by two very awesome dudes, one being Eric Williams.
Hello.
How long has it been since we've heard Eric Williams on Vitamin Geek?
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. I don't even have the statistics for that in front of me, but I do have some other statistics. I also have a special guest here. He is a fellow podcaster. He does a wrestling show, a horror show, and a, I guess, a general purpose geek show.
Yeah. And overall nerdy stuff.
There we go. So yeah, there we go. He's got an outlet for everything. And I'm hoping I'm saying this right, 'cause I didn't clear this up before the show. Richard Ewell.
I'll take it. It's Ewell, but I don't fault anybody.
Like Brenner. Ah, but, damn it.
I should say Brenner, because I usually say like the log, and that doesn't sound right.
So. Log. Not that I have a log like, or anything.
Like Yule log. Yeah.
It's getting nipply in here. Christmas Vacation reference, in case anybody didn't pick up on that. Richard obviously did, though.
Oh, I love it. I'm going, me and my wife are going to the big city next week to see it at the local theater, the Tennessee Theater, in fact. So that'll be fun.
That's awesome, man. So, yeah, I wanted to talk Christmas-themed horror movies. I put out the beacon, and these two dudes answered. And they are good folks to talk to on this topic. Let's see. I wonder where we should start here. So this is actually the first time that we've done a list where I actually did statistics on it. And I built a spreadsheet. I sent out a survey to listeners. We actually had 17 people respond to the survey. So we've got some pretty decent data there. I put out a top five to everybody and just let them free form pick their top five Christmas themed horror movies. And do you guys want to guess how many different like responses I got? Like how many unique responses I got?
17.
No. No, just 10. from people and full disclosure, there were two other people that were supposed to be here tonight. My sister and my friend Tanner, who is a huge horror movie and exploitation nut. They could not join us because of previous engagements. How many did you say, Richard?
I said 10.
Dead on the money, dude. 10 unique responses from co-hosts tonight. What I did on the Survey Monkey is I actually picked, I think, the first 8 unique responses I got from basically myself and Richard and maybe my sister. And I sent those out in a ranking list so people could rank the movies from best to worst. Yeah. Unique responses. We got A Christmas Horror Story, Black Christmas from 1974. Nobody picked the remake. Christmas Evil, Elves, which actually I haven't seen that. Have you guys seen that?
Yes. Is it a sequel? Does anybody know?
I found that there's two movies called Elves.
I've watched the one that's streaming on Shudder right now, and it seemed like it was a sequel, but I could be wrong. I didn't really look it up because I just watched it yesterday.
Oh, it's on Shudder?
Yeah.
I found one on Amazon. New. Let me see.
It's Elves, and this time they've got help or something like that. That's why I bought it for Shudder.
Elves.
I've been trying to find it on a streaming service, but like I said earlier, I don't have Shudder, which I need to get.
You do. It's Shudder.
I know.
Amazing.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, there's a 1989 Elves, and then this is 2018, so I don't know.
So the 2018 one is on Amazon, right?
Maybe, I guess. I watched it on Shudder, but I'm assuming it's on Amazon also.
Okay. Now that the one Tanner picked is the older one from the 80s, and I want to say that VHSPS sells it. because I noticed it during that sale they had where everything was 50% off. And for anybody at home that doesn't know what VHSPS is, that is the VHS Preservation Society. They basically take obscure movies that you can only find on VHS or are just hard to find on Blu-ray or DVD, and they put them on DVD.
So I've never seen the 89 version, but it's got Dan Haggerty in it, man. Grizzly Adams.
Yes. Yeah, that's the one that Tanner picked. He said it's, I don't know. I can't tell how he feels about movies when he talks about them, because he'll watch them and seem to enjoy it and then say it was shit. So I don't know. It's like one of those kind of love-hate relationships, I guess. See, Gremlins, of course, was one of the picks. Krampus. This is not a horror movie. I'll just say this right now so we don't get any crazy hate mail. Nightmare Before Christmas. I know it's not a horror movie. You know, it was picked more than once. It made more than one list, so.
It's because it has Nightmare in it. Halloween.
Yeah, it has.
That's why it's associated with horror.
Let's say it's
a horror. I think I put it in
elements.
My list.
You did. You did. My sister did, too. It's like one of her favorite movies of all time. So, and to be fair, she had not. The only Christmas horror movie she said she had ever seen was Krampus. And then I was like, what about Gremlins? She's like, oh, yeah, I saw that. And I was like, what about Nightmare Before Christmas?
Gremlins is way scarier than Nightmare Before Christmas, which we can go into that later.
Way funnier, too. let's see.
It's sad.
Yeah, that's true. Krampus, Nightmare Before Christmas. Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale, I believe is the full title. And then Silent Night, Deadly Night. And then Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. So one sequel made the cut. Just barely, though, because Tanner's the only one that picked it, and he's not here. And it was his number 4 pick, so it wasn't even that high on his list. That's the one with the trash day thing, right? The guy just running around shooting people on garbage pickup day or something. I haven't seen. I don't even think I've ever seen the sequel.
I'm not sure. The only one I've ever had any interest to see was the, I think it's part 5, the Toymaker with, is it Mickey Rooney? I've wanted to see that one, but I never have.
Huh, okay, I gotta Google that. Hold on a second. Yeah, I knew he was in one of them. I wasn't sure which one. I know that I there's 4 of them. Let's see.
It's called The Toymaker. I do know that.
The movie's just called The Toymaker? Or it's called like, that's well, like no, the subtitle?
Yeah, that's the subtitle.
Oh, the main article, Silent Night, Deadly Night franchise. Yeah, it's 5, The Toymaker. co-written by Brian Yuzna. Of Society, and didn't he have something to do with Reanimator? I want to say.
What's his name?
Brian Yuzna? Y-U-Z-N-A? Yeah. Yuzna began his career as a producer for several films by Stuart Gordon, such as Reanimator and From Beyond, before making his directorial debut with the satirical body horror from film Society in 1989. He also worked on The Giver, Return of the Living Dead 3, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Whoa.
Yeah. Beyond Reanimator.
Did you say The Guyver or MacGyver?
The Guyver, like Mark Hamill.
Love that movie. And the manga.
Yeah, this dude's done a lot. Not as much as a director, though. He did direct Bride of Reanimator. That's pretty good.
You ain't
That's
seen.
One of the newer ones, right?
Bride is the second one.
Second. Oh.
It's the one where he's got a completely different love interest. They start off the movie and I don't know. So they're like combat medics or something. And they're doing their experimentation on soldiers as they get shot. Oh, it's saying that Silent Night, the 2012 film, is part of that series too. But I didn't.
It was supposed to be loosely a remake of it or a reboot sort of thing, but then they just put it in the same universe, I think. But from what I heard, very loosely.
See, I bought that movie last Christmas because it was insanely cheap. I was like, I'm going to buy all the Christmas horror movies I can find. And then I got that and still haven't watched it. All right. Let's see here. So I've got the rankings here. I've also got the rankings from the online survey. So let's just go with, we're going to do top fives here, and then we can break these down and discuss each of the films and kind of what we like about them, what we don't like about them, you know, just have some good discussion here. I will say that the margin between first and second with us is huge. And then the margin between first and second on the listener poll is not quite as huge, but it is the same films. So essentially on our list, we had five people write in. It was me, Richard, Tanner, my sister Casey, and then Eric. Not everybody picked five films. That's okay. I mean, if you picked top three, those three films were still weighted as if they were your top three from a five list. So, it's fine. It all works out in the wash. I'm going to say that we had a two-way tie for fifth place, and that was between Christmas Evil and A Christmas Horror Story. And I believe I'm the only person that picked Christmas Horror Story. Have you guys seen that one?
I have not. I knew I should have watched it on Netflix when it was on there a year ago or whatever, and then I didn't, and then now it's not on there anymore.
Ironically, it's on Shudder right now.
Of course it is.
Yeah. Have you seen it, Eric?
No.
I think, okay, so I have a real soft spot in my heart for anthology films. I love Trick or Treat. Creepshow is amazing. It'd be hard to figure out an anthology I don't like, at least some part of. This one's cool. It's all kind of Christmas related, horror stories. It's got William Shatner in it. Not that that's, you know, the biggest deal, but he's like a radio announcer in it, which is kind of cool because he's got that really iconic voice. And actually, I think he would make a pretty good radio DJ kind of guy.
So is he like the host of the anthology kind of?
Kinda. This one,
like the Crib Keeper.
No, he's more like the. He kind of navigates you through it more so than the Crypt Keeper. He's not just there to kind of horror host it, you know? And it's got a really fairly cool wraparound story. I don't want to say too much cause it's got some twisty elements to it. I think it's definitely worth a watch. I don't know that I'd recommend to buy it to many people, but definitely if you're into spooky stuff during the holidays, it's definitely worth a watch, a rent, or just get together with some friends, eat some popcorn, drink some beers, that kind of deal. And it tied with Christmas Evil. Christmas Evil was only picked once. And yeah, both of those movies were only picked in one list. Christmas Evil was number three in Richard's
Mine.
List. Yeah. And Christmas Horror Story was number three in my list. So that's why they tied. Do you want to talk about Christmas Evil, Richard?
Yeah, it's one that I just I recently watched because on the Assignment Horror podcast that we do, that's what we're recording next. So that's one of the movies that they make me watch, and I dug it. I mean, I've heard of most all of these movies. You know, most horror movies I've heard of, maybe not seen all of them, but with Christmas Evil, I mean, with that title, right? Like, that's a great title. I think there's also a New Year's Evil too.
I think Christmas Evil actually is also called Better Watch Out, right? Like when you watch it, then the credits come up and it says Better Watch Out in white over red or red over white.
Yeah, I did notice that. Cause I had to actually, so the whole movie is available on YouTube. And so, but I had to send it to a buddy of mine to be like, is this what I'm supposed to be watching? Because it does come up, Better Watch Out. But I just like the vibe of it, you know, like it's not like your typical, it sort of reminded me of Black Christmas in many ways. Although Black Christmas is a slasher, it just, just that old vibe of trying to mess with your mind in a way. And I don't know, I really like the... really like the beginning with the kid and the Santa.
Let's talk about that scene a little bit. Because actually, you know, the next episode of Spooky Dudes, well, the episode coming out right before Christmas, Eric and I will be talking. Well, actually, like 2 days after Christmas. Sorry, guys. Calendars are hard. Our Christmas episode essentially will be about Christmas Evil, or You Better Watch Out. There is a very weird opening scene. So Santa comes and brings stuff, and
it's
the kids
not weird.
the thing. Okay, let's just set the scene real quick. The kids are sitting on the staircase with their mom. Santa comes down the chimney. One of the kids is like, "That's Dad," and the other one's like, "No, it's not." And he touches his nose and flies back up the chimney after he does this weird milk chug and gets all this milk in his fake beard, which really grosses me out for some reason. Then the kids go to bed, and one of them sneaks back down, and Santa is on his knees, I guess, sniffing the mom.
Giving mom her present.
But it's sort of weird.
He's down there for a long time.
He is
He's giving her the old cunnilingus. That's implied. But what you see is sensual thigh rubbing and weird smelling sounds.
That's what's weird. That's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't even look like. Like, he'd have to be Dawson from Street Fighter 2 to get his tongue across the, you know, the 6 to 8 inches of floor space between him and the woman. It looks like he's just sniffing her undercarriage for a long time.
Well, gee, that's maybe what they're into, man. The 70s. Hey, but people's got fetishes.
The kid, like, freaks out and runs upstairs, breaks a snow globe, and cuts his hand. It's weird. It's a weird movie, guys.
It is, but that's the charm of it, I feel.
Well, it's a perfect movie for Vinegar Syndrome to release. I love Vinegar Syndrome. They put out a lot of 2K and 4K restorations of exploitation films. And this may not be the most exploitative film, but I was listening to another podcast the other day where they're talking about exploitation film, and they said, yeah, this is a great exploitation film because nothing happens for so long. And that's exactly how this movie works. Like, the cover is a beautiful cartoon picture of Santa with a bag of toys in one hand and a bloody knife in the other. And then, like, nothing happens for a solid, I don't know, 40 minutes.
You mean you're under the impression that you're going into a dated slasher movie. And it's not really a slasher. Yes, there's a few kills, man, but it's kind of like, I don't know, maybe Norman Bates, you know, meets the Santa Claus movie. It's not bad, but it's very dated, low budget horror movie, but it's got a charm to it. And aside from the Santa cunnilingus scene, I mean, you got the town literally throws up torches and chasing Santa. I mean, weird toy factory it looks like a sweatshop almost, but it's a weird movie, man, but it's got a special charm to it.
I will say this, like, I watch a lot of doo-doo, and most of it I like, and I do like Christmas Evil. It's just weird.
It's not doo-doo.
It's not doo-doo. I'm just saying I've watched 10 times worse movies and still enjoyed them. Christmas Evil is enjoyable, but yeah, do not go in thinking it's Silent Night, Deadly Night, because it's not. It's weird. Just,
you didn't like the scene where a dude's stroking the little doll, humming Santa's Coming to Town, starts choking and making faces?
He does a lot of weird stuff in that movie, including spying on kids with binoculars from a roof and taking notes on their behavior.
What Santa does.
It's a peculiar film. You can get this on Amazon for $20 in the DVD/Blu-ray combo pack. That is the Vinegar Syndrome cut of it, I'm sure. Actually, it's a 4K restoration. Deleted scenes.
Really?
Yeah. Three commentary tracks.
I think I might pick that up. I wouldn't mind having a copy of this.
Yeah. And they sell it at cons for 20 even, but it's $20.78 Amazon Prime. You can get it by Christmas. You can get it by Thursday. All right. Moving on. Christmas Evil is interesting. I do think, I think it deserves a watch, but it's weird.
Oh, definitely.
If you want to see Santa sniffing mom's crotch, go for it.
That's literally less 5 minutes. That's it.
It's the catalyst for the entire film, though.
No, it's not.
You don't think so?
It's literally not the reason.
Okay. All right.
So I'll give you the reason. It's his little brother told him Santa's not real. That's literally the reason.
His
brother tells you that towards the end of the movie.
Yeah, that would bum me out too, especially if fake Santa was sniffing my mom's crotch. I digress. Hey, check it out, Spooky Dudes, December 27th, Christmas Evil coming at you, hot and heavy. Okay, now we have a weird situation. We actually have three movies that tied for fourth, but I did separate one from the other two because it actually made the list, three of our lists. Okay. We got a three-way tie. I'll give you two of them at the same time, because Rare Exports and Nightmare Before Christmas both tied. And they
Rare Exports is way better than Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, especially since it's a horror movie.
Well, that's true.
And has some legit scary moments.
Oh, yeah.
And a very unique story.
Yeah.
So Rare Exports, this is kind of fun because I had never seen it. I'd heard of it, and it made Richard's number one spot.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
So I was like, you know, if I don't really know this dude yet, but if he's picking this as his number one, I got to see how, you know, if it's really that good. And so this thing is on Amazon Prime. You can stream it for free right now if you have Prime. What country? I didn't even look this up beforehand, but what? It's a foreign film. Most of it's in another language. Richard, where do you remember where this was made?
I think it's, I want to say Finland for some reason. And I believe that is right. Yes.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Finland. Yes.
But essentially it's an adventure film. It feels more so than a horror to me, although it does have some scary stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big blockbuster movie, really. I mean, this is something that it really looks like a lot of money was put behind, which I don't think it necessarily was, but, I mean, it just looks really good. And I love some of the actors that are in this movie. The guy, the main, like, businessman that, like, speaks English in it is just brilliant. I just love how dramatic he is about it. And you know, the main story is kind of there's this mountain, and this businessman is trying to find Santa Claus because he thinks he's real. He thinks he's buried in this mountain. So that's basically the storyline. And then these other I guess butchers. I don't know what their jobs are, but they kill animals and stuff. So they end up finding Santa.
Yeah, they're really.
Or like, there is a twist. I don't know if we want to talk about the twist.
Yeah, let's just say it's a unique take on the Santa Claus myth. If you're listening to this with kids, I'm sorry. The Santa myth.
Well, I'll say this: when they first capture Santa. I love that scene, like, of him cowering by the fireplace, and they tie him up, and I love it. It's so creepy to me.
Let's see. That film was shot for 1.8 million euro. So, is that 2 million US dollars? I don't know. My math is not great, and I'm not sure I typed it in the Google translation thing here correctly, but I do think this thing was filmed like for a bargain, basically,
way it looks.
Yeah, for how good this is, like it's great.
They're very smart too, because I mean, they're just, some of the scenes are, you know, it's kind of like Jaws, where it's more show, or you know, less show and more tell, as far as you might see what happens to people, but you don't actually see the thing happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had a feeling of like, I do not want to spoil anything for anybody, but I had a feeling that things were going to go south much more so than they did. Right. There's a couple of moments in this film where you're like, oh, shit's about to get sideways, but, no, it's pretty good. I think you can't, I don't say watch this with little kids or anything, but,
no, but it. I mean, the main star is a little kid, so, yeah. You know, he's, what, 10, 11? And if you guys have never heard of a movie called Big Game, you should check that out if you like this movie, because it's done by the same director, and it's, I mean, it's not the same as far as, I mean, it's not a Christmas movie, but just real quick, because it is a lesser-known movie that actually came out in the States. It's got Samuel L. Jackson as the president, and if I need to keep talking, then, you know, you don't like Samuel Jackson. So, but no, it's Samuel L. Jackson as the president, and he basically ends up in this forest, and with hunters after him, and the kid finds him and helps him out.
And it's the same kid.
It's the same kid, yeah.
Okay, I see. I've heard of Big Game, and I thought it looked like, just looking at the cover, I was like, nah.
But it has the same adventure feel, though, as Rare Exports. Like, I mean, it's not a Christmas movie, but it definitely has the same adventurous feel. Like, and they sort, you know, even with Rare Exports, it's sort of like Goonies, but darker. You know, I mean, less kids, yeah, but I mean, it certainly is like that 80s where the kid is the star.
Yeah, it looks like it was not box office successful. So maybe
no,
that's...
it was not, and I don't think it was because I don't believe it came to a theater near me, because I would have seen it, because I was really on the hunt for it. So I don't think it came to a theater near me. So I don't know how widely released it was.
I want to see it now, though. That sounds good, and the cast is great.
Yeah, it's really good, and it does have that like cheesy action feel. It's got a, you know, it. I don't know if it has like the one-liners, but every action trope you can imagine is kind of in this, especially at the very end. But I love it. It's a great movie. It really is.
Yeah, I'm gonna check that out. Nightmare Before Christmas. I really don't think we need to talk on it that much. It's a great movie. I really don't know anybody that dislikes it. It's not a horror movie. It just kind of,
it's creepy. I mean, Nightmare Before, anything Tim Burton touches, especially back then, is sort of creepy, you know?
Yeah.
And Rare Exports feels like a Tim Burton movie, by the way. It feels like if Tim Burton did an actual Christmas movie, that Rare Exports would have been it.
I'm going to go to the listener survey response here real quick. So number five on the listener survey was actually Christmas Evil. Number four was Nightmare Before Christmas. So pretty consistent there. The three that didn't even make the top five on the listener survey were Rare Exports, Better Watch Out, the 2016 movie, not the alternate title of Christmas Evil, and Dead Last was a Christmas Horror Story. Evidently, I'm the only person that's watched this movie in the whole world, except for three people that listen to the show.
I don't know many people that have seen that. I don't think it was widely released either, was it? Wasn't it just like straight to streaming or whatever they do nowadays?
The first time I ever watched it was on Netflix, I think. But the first time I heard about it, I want to say, was in the Redbox.
Oh, that makes sense.
Okay, here you go. It premiered on July 20th, 2015 at Fantasia International Film Festival, which would be awesome to go to. It had a limited theatrical release on October 2nd of 2015, along with a VOD release. So they released a Christmas horror movie in early October, and it didn't get seen by anybody. There you go. Compared to Krampus, when did Krampus come out? See, December 4th, 2015. So that makes a lot more sense. And it was everywhere. It was a very successful film.
I've never seen it.
Well, now that's Michael Dougherty. He's the guy that did Trick or Treat.
Oh, it is the same guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Trick or Treat.
Yeah, Trick or Treat's like amazing.
Yeah.
Krampus, I was a little... I mean, I like it, but I was a little let down. Comparing it to Trick or Treat isn't fair. Thinking that it's going to do, you know, be the same level is not fair. It actually has the opening scene is really thought-provoking. And this is, let's just segue into that. Krampus also tied these movies with 7 points, but it was also on 3 lists rather than 2. So I ranked it just a little higher because 3 people picked it instead of just 2. The opening scene of Krampus is actually super cool because it's just people shopping and going nuts over buying the latest whatever, iPad or whatever. And it says a lot about, you know, where Christmas has gotten to for a lot of people in America. But then after that, it's just a kind of weird horror movie. It felt less like a movie and more like an episode of Twilight Zone or Tales from the Crypt or something like that to me.
Nice. It's not necessarily a bad thing.
It's not bad. And I love Adam Scott. He's the lead. He's the dad in it. And the creature, the Krampus, is freaking awesome. And there's all kinds of other creatures in it that are great. But something about it just didn't... I didn't love it. I need to watch it again to see if maybe I've calmed down from like trick or treat so good and this is not, you know.
I will say that it's the hardest movie to find because there's like 900 movies called Krampus or some variation of Krampus.
Yeah, and then there's like a Miss Krampus now or something, yes. Or Lady Krampus. Yes. I want to say that the Blu-ray, like, I don't know how you feel about physical media, but the Blu-ray on Amazon is usually like super cheap.
Well, I used to think that like streaming was the way to go, but then all my stuff disappears. So I sort of like stuff. I like the physical copy more if I can find it cheap, though. I don't like to pay full price.
It looks like, I was going to say it looks like it's free on Prime, but it says I own it. I don't know how that happened. I own the Blu-ray. Maybe they have an auto rip feature now. I don't know. Like, you know how you buy CDs on Amazon sometimes and it'll add them to your digital library for free?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's weird. The Blu-ray is $10 and it's Blu-ray plus DVD plus digital copy. Okay. It's Mother Krampus.
Mother
Krampus looks like a weird zombie Santa Claus on the front. Makes no sense. And then there's Krampus the Reckoning. None of these are related to the Michael Dougherty Krampus movie. His movie is like a wicked looking hand holding up a snow globe. That's the cover. Let's see. On the listener poll, number 3 was Krampus as well. So we're syncing up with the listeners very well here. Wait, no, they gave it number 3. We gave it number 4. Number 3, I'm going to let Eric talk to this one. He's probably seen it most recently. I have not watched it in a while. Is Gremlins.
I actually haven't seen it most recently.
What?
I've seen so much. I mean, I know it by heart, I mean, excuse me. Yeah, I mean, Gremlins is kind of a no-brainer when you want to consider horror Christmas, because that should be in everybody's top 10 regardless. I mean, I can't think of any reason why it wouldn't be.
Oh yeah, top 10. I definitely would have had it in my top 10. I just went for more horror-y films. You know, I don't know. I guess I watched Gremlins so young that I kind of think of it more from the comedic aspect, and especially after you watch the second one.
Well, the second one definitely, yeah. The first one terrified me as a kid, and so it's typically why I don't put it on my list. I don't like to watch it. It's one of those things like Pinocchio where it's supposed to be for me, but it terrified me so much. And I just ended up feeling bad for Gizmo. So, oh, yeah. I tried watching it like 5 years ago thinking, I'm an adult now. But, I mean, as soon as those things start popping off of them, I turned it off. I could not do it. I know it's a good movie. It's just not for me. It gave me gave me nightmares.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, yeah, that stuff probably did scare me as a kid. I just don't, ugh, for whatever reason, you know, and we'll get to like what my number 1 and 2 picks were, but, Gremlins is just a good movie, period. You know, it's got a great cast. It's Joe Dante directed?
Which one's got Hogan in it? That's the second one, isn't it?
Second one, yeah.
The second one is just wacky. It's straight up
comedy. Yeah, I mean, it's straight up comedy.
It's like Evil Dead and then Evil Dead 2. Well, no, it's like Evil Dead and then you got Army of Darkness immediately after.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Gremlins is one of the reasons that PG-13 exists, right? Like up there with Jaws?
Yeah.
Oh, because they came out at PG?
Yeah, I think so. If I'm not mistaken, I believe it's PG. I believe I've always heard like Jaws, Gremlins, and Poltergeist are the reasons that PG-13 exist.
Do you guys know who the voice of Gizmo is?
Oh, I should. Why don't I know this?
Bob Saget.
No, Howie Mandel.
I knew this.
Really?
Yeah.
How did I never know that?
Here you go, Richard. Here's the quote from Wikipedia. Along with Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, also rated PG, Gremlins was one of two films in 1984 to influence the MPAA to create the PG-13 rating, with Red Dawn being the first film released in theaters that was given the new rating in August 1984.
Oh.
The scene in which a gremlin explodes in the microwave was particularly yes. influential to the idea that some films too light to be rated R are still too mature to be rated PG.
That was terrifying.
Yeah.
Do you know what gremlins in the Back of the Future have in common?
Steven Spielberg?
It's the town in Gremlins is the same towns as the Hill Valley.
Oh, Hill Valley. Oh. Hmm.
The clock tower and everything is the exact same set.
Do you
not know that?
Here, this next line is particularly cool. The change to the rating system was not insignificant. The rating PG-13 turned out to be appealing to many film patrons as it implied some excitement without being too explicit. And this film cost $11 million and made $153.1 million U.S. Ooh. In the box office. And for 84, holy cow, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Joe Dante's just awesome, though. Like, if you listen to interviews with that guy, he's incredibly intelligent. Seems like a really sensitive guy. And, like, he's made some really cool movies, man. Gremlins is killer.
When it was written by Chris Columbus, who is one of my favorites. So.
Oh, yeah. Home Alone guy, right?
Yeah. God, I love Home Alone.
He's still writing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote...
He did...
He did Pixels. People didn't like Pixels for some reason.
I never saw it. I mean, he did Harry Potter, so, I mean, he's been doing stuff. I can't remember what movie I saw he was doing. He's not as old as I thought he was, actually.
Five Nights at Freddy's. He's directing, producing, and writing Five Nights at Freddy's movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, the Christmas Chronicles. He did the Christmas Chronicles. That's right. The Netflix Christmas movie. He did that.
With Kirk Russell?
Yeah.
Have you watched that, Eric?
No.
It's good.
I keep telling me I need to watch it.
It's really good, dude.
It is. It's Kurt Russell as Santa.
Well, I want to watch it because Kirk Russell's in it, but I'm just like, I got too much other crap I'm watching.
He's a really good Santa too. Like he's very cool. Yeah. But Gremlins is awesome. Yes. Number three.
Jingle All the Way, Chris Columbus also did, which is one of my favorites.
Now, I got chewed out a little bit because I shared the survey I made for people to rank these on the Joe Bob Briggs Drive-In Mutants group. And I think that's all I shared it on. Or maybe the VHS Trash and Exploitation group too. But I got chewed out because Gremlins wasn't on the list for them to pick from. And now I see why. Because Gremlins would have been much higher than... I think Nightmare Before Christmas and Christmas Evil for sure. It would have beat Krampus too. I don't know if it would have beat the top two because
I think Gremlins would have been number one.
You think so? Yeah, it could have been. Yeah.
I mean, just it's nostalgia. It's nostalgia. Most people saw that when they were kids and they loved it and they weren't little sissies like me.
It's okay, man. It's okay. Okay, so Gremlins number three on our list, and then Krampus was number three on the listener list because they did not get a chance.
Which Krampus are you talking about? There's like 30 Krampus movies.
The Michael Dougherty 2015 Krampus with Adam Scott. The good one. There's no way that those...
The non-B-rated movie.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way that those other movies are that good. There's no way. Well,
there's a Versus movie where Krampus versus Santa Claus. It's actually pretty good.
I mean, I'd watch that. That's different, though.
It's a Christmas Horror Story.
Wait, yeah, the cover, yeah.
Yeah.
You need to watch that movie, dude. I want to talk about that movie, but I don't want to spoil anything. That's a good movie. Okay, number two. So here's where things get a little interesting between us and the listener community. Our number two was picked on... Three different people picked it. Let me see... Two of those people are here now, and then the other one was Tanner, who's not here. It was his number two pick, my number two pick, and Eric's number three pick. That's Silent Night, Deadly Night. I just started rewatching the movie last night or the night before. My God, is that a mean-spirited movie?
I'm ashamed to say I haven't seen it. I really need to watch this, though. I believe, because the dumb thing is I own it on DVD, and I've never watched it.
Well, you know it's a good movie when it spawns four sequels.
Yeah.
That's the mark of a great movie right there.
Is it?
Because you remember The Howling?
That's true. the first one was good, and they all sucked after that.
Howling 2 is okay.
The My Sister's a Werewolf or whatever. They had one where it was in Australia. The Howling 4,
Howling 6 takes place in a high school.
There's 6 of those?
Yep. It is good, and it's awful. It's being nice when you say it. It's just bad.
What? Okay, so just Richard hasn't seen the movie. We're not going to spoil any movies on this list. This isn't Matt spoiling. We're just discussing these films, hopefully for people who have seen them before.
I don't want to spoil 30-year-old movies.
Yeah, no. I mean, if somebody's going to watch it, this movie is on Shudder currently. Is it streaming anywhere else? I'm going to see if it's streaming on Amazon because there's no way. Oh, here's another bit of confusion. There's a movie called Silent Night, Dead Night. That movie is on Amazon Prime, and apparently people got pissed off because obviously the name is leading you to believe it's something to do with Silent Night, Deadly Night. It's not. Did you know that Bill Moseley's in the third one?
Oh, I love Bill Moseley.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. He's crazy. I don't know anything about the movie. I've seen part of part two because there's a meme that got really popular on the internet a while back about Garbage Day, and there's just a dude killing garbage men or something. I don't know. This movie's just, the first one is very mean-spirited. It is a slasher flick. It starts off basically with a little kid traveling with his parents around Christmas. They visit Grandpa. Grandpa is as creepy as it gets. He's in some sort of like old folks home, and he just sits there and stares vacantly at the wall all the time until the grandson comes around. And when the grandson's alone, he starts talking to him about how Santa's going to get him and yada, yada. That really didn't, I don't know. That part is whatever. But the kid basically is riding in the car with his parents, and then he sees a Santa pulled over on the side of the road. He gets scared. He's like, no, we need to go. Santa's going to get us. And the parents stop to help Santa out. Santa pops a cap in Dad's head and then pulls Mom out and starts to rape her on the road and then cuts her throat. And the kid sees all this stuff. That's why I'm saying this movie is very mean-spirited. It's if none of that offends you, though, and you want a slasher flick with Santa, Silent Night, Deadly Night, that's your film from 1984. It's not. I don't think it's a bad movie. I just think it is fairly mean-spirited. It's an 80s slasher flick, though, so what do you know? We had enough slasher flicks in the 80s that weren't mean-spirited. We had a lot of Friday the 13th that were just fun, you know?
Maybe you want a little action in your horror. Your Santa horror movie. You should check out Santa Slays with Bill Goldberg.
Yeah, I was going to mention that as like an honorable mention because no one picked it.
Ironically, being a wrestling fan, I've never seen it.
The first like 5 to 10 minutes of that film are absolute gold. And I think you can probably just watch that part on YouTube. The rest of the movie's not worth watching, but the opening is amazing.
Have to check it out. Yeah. Jack Frost didn't get mentioned either. That should be honorable mention.
No, Snowman Rape did not make the list.
That is the weirdest bathtub scene you'll ever see.
That movie is streaming on Amazon Prime. And if I'm not mistaken, isn't that Shannon Elizabeth from American Pie fame in that scene?
It is. Yeah, it is.
That film is also available on Blu-ray from our friends at Vinegar Syndrome.
It's also a movie starring Michael Keaton, so don't get those confused.
Yeah, one is about a dad who is a musician, passes away, and then inhabits the body of a snowman. The other one is about a snowman that rapes Shannon Elizabeth in a shower. And I guess kills people and eats them. Not really sure what his M.O. is. Number two. So number two on the listener list. No, actually, number one on the listener list is Silent Night, Deadly Night. Apparently the listeners loved it more so than the number two on their list, which is the number one on our list, which who wants to guess what it is?
I'm guessing Black Christmas.
It made 4 out of 5 lists. So it was the most picked movie for us. I personally think it's head and shoulders above everything else. as far as a Christmas-themed horror movie.
So we did this last year on the on my other horror podcast, and I had never seen it up until last year. And I think I can't remember what grade I gave it. It may not have been good. I can't remember. But that being said, when you narrow it down to Christmas horror, I really like the movie. And I mean, it, to me, it's dated, but of course it's dated because it's the 70s. But yeah, I think it's sort of like Christmas Evil, where it does have a charm about it. And especially if you like slashers, like, it's golden, right? Like, it, I really do like the feel of the movie. I just like that old 70s feel. I mean, the remake lost so much when they tried to, when they did that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, it's like they tried to remake Prom Night, and that's definitely not, it could not capture the magic of the original, even though the original Prom Night and the original Black Christmas are night and day. Like, Black Christmas, I think, is, a lot of people say Black Christmas is the first slasher film.
Yes. I mean, they say that, yes.
I don't know that that's, I mean, Psycho, how do you forget about Psycho? But a lot of people say it's the birth of the modern slashers, Black Christmas, and then you had Halloween 4 years later.
Which was, you know, the story goes that Black Christmas was supposed to be the first of, like, an anthology of different holidays.
Which, that would have been awesome!
Well, I mean, Halloween, you know, John Carpenter kind of did that with Halloween, but then Michael Myers became a thing.
Yeah.
And he wasn't really supposed to.
Yeah, for better or worse, because Eric and I are huge fans of Halloween 3 Season of the Witch.
Oh, I loved it. We watched this, that was this year's Halloween movie for me to watch on that show too, and I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. I just rewatched Black Christmas because it had been about, I don't know, maybe 2 years since I saw it. Fun fact for people that don't know, directed and produced by Bob Clark. Anybody else know what Bob Clark is famous for?
Oh, I know.
All right,
it's
Richard.
Hilarious.
It's a Christmas story.
So the greatest Christmas horror movie and the greatest Christmas movie, same dude. And that's my opinion, of course. I love Chris. A Christmas Story is my favorite. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's in my top three.
Did you know films. I noticed something new recently about A Christmas Story?
What's that?
So when they're leaving the house to... I can't remember what scene it is. Anyway, when the whole family is leaving the house, and the mom says, "Did you turn the lamp off?" Or, "Don't forget to turn the lamp off." She says, "Yes." Every single light in the house is still on. It's just funny. I mean, I've seen that. I don't know if that's a joke meant to be.
It could
be. There's a scene dedicated, like, "Did you turn everything off?" "Yes." And everything in the house is still on. I don't know. It could be.
I just knew he did not turn that lamp off because he did not want to.
I'm in a minority when it comes to that movie.
It's a major award.
I don't like it.
Really?
I think the reason I don't like it is because every year it gets 24-hour stream. And I'm like, enough. I've seen it enough.
So I don't like it. I never saw it until about 6 years ago in its entirety. Because, you know, that movie is so much played over. You know every scene from it.
I'm not going to lie. I'm surprised it's still aired because there are certain scenes in that movie that are kind of offensive.
Well, we'll see what happens this year. I think this year is the key. Year.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Don't forget the dinner scene.
At the restaurant. Yeah. Yeah, that definitely. I'm definitely more of a Christmas Vacation guy than a Christmas Story guy.
I can't really watch it with my four-year-old. Because Ralphie says, "Son of a bitch."
Watch the TV cut.
It's still in there.
You gotta get the older one.
It's, I don't. Yeah, I just I had it playing like last year, and I guess Susan wasn't super familiar with it, and like she's like, "What is this kid saying? Son of a bitch!" Our kid's sitting right here. I'm like,
"You can edit it yourself."
Yeah, I could. I guess.
Fun story. So my grandfather used to. Hook up the giant VCR next to the big camcorder. It was the ones you had on your shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
And he would edit movies so I could watch them. Like, it just like it would cut the scene out. So, like, for example, I was watching Aliens 2, and when Bishop is about to get ripped in half from the Queen, it just all of a sudden he starts spitting milk and just fuzz, and then it cuts back them running away from the Queen. There's so many movies that so you can just do that for your kid.
I might have to do that at some point. I don't have the energy to do it right now.
Scene missing.
So Black Christmas, four of us picked it. It was my number one. It was Tanner's number one. It was Richard's number two. It was Eric's number two. So that's pretty high points for this movie. If you watch the movie with the subtitles on, there is some super filthy dialogue in this film, especially from the crank caller.
Oh, yes.
He drops the "see you next Tuesday" a few times. It's pretty foul. Margot Kidder is constantly drunk in this film and giving a kid like a 6-year-old kid wine or something. Things that you would be 110% arrested for nowadays. But they're pulled off as jokes in this film because it's made in the 70s, 1974. But I'll say this. After watching Black Christmas again and starting Silent Night, Deadly Night again, the mean spirit from Silent Night, Deadly Night is not in Black Christmas. Yes, there's people getting killed. The kills aren't really that brutal, and they're kind of done in a tasteful way. Like, someone's killed with a pulley, like a weighted pulley. It swings into her head, I guess. And the camera is what swings at her. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't think that this film is very... I don't think it's all that graphic, you know, kind of like Halloween or Texas Chainsaw. It's like you think you're seeing more than you're seeing. You know, there's kind of a Hitchcock effect going on, you know. There's enough there to scare you. It is creepy. This movie still holds up and is still super creepy. And it's on Shudder, guys. We're not sponsored, but Shudder is pretty awesome.
Do y'all ever read reviews of older movies, like current reviews? It still amazes me, like... a movie that was released 40 years ago, you'll find somebody who's like just reviewed it a week ago.
I haven't read a lot of those. Did you find one for Black Christmas?
I did. It was this is the blueprint for American Slasher and a masterpiece by all accounts. Halloween is the most overrated pile of dog crap there is. That's the first sentence. I'm not gonna go into the two paragraphs. I'm like, that's enough for me. I don't hear any more.
I don't think you need... here's the thing. Like, everything is built on something else, right? Like, there's not... Even an original, and I'm doing air quotes here, idea, there's really nothing new under the sun. Like, you were influenced by everything that you've seen up until this point, right? So, yeah, they were influenced by Black Christmas when they made Halloween, sure. Does that take anything away from Halloween being a masterpiece? No, because it did it really well. And I don't think they directly ripped anything off. You could say, well, it's related to a holiday and it's a slasher. Oh well. Friday the 13th, man. It definitely ripped off Halloween, right? Sean Cunningham's like, man, that Halloween movie's making a bunch of money. I'm going to put an ad in paper that says Friday the 13th. See how people respond. Oh, people are going crazy. I better write a movie. Better get Victor Miller to write a movie. And then several million dollars later, maybe even billion. I don't know. Nevertheless, Black Christmas made a shitload of money. It cost $620,000 to make, and box office was $4 million.
Whoa!
Yeah, that's Wikipedia. So I mean, you can't. I don't know where you'd find the numbers for like the Blu-ray and DVD sales. You know, I think like the current Blu-ray that's out is a Shout Factory. I actually don't own this one on a physical copy, but that's why I have Shudder, man.
There's never a lot of horror Christmas thing movies concerning like Mrs. Claus. It's always elves or Santa Claus, Krampus. They never use like Mrs. Claus as a killer. Well, there's a few of them, but there's not a lot of them.
Well, there is the Mrs. Krampus or whatever the hell that thing was I was looking at earlier. Lady Krampus. What was it? And I actually saw this at Walmart today. Oh yeah. Mother Krampus. That's it. That's actually streaming on Amazon Prime. It's in my watch list. I bet you it's hot trash.
Oh, I bet.
There's also a movie called Secret Santa on there that has... the cover just looks cool. I'll send you guys the link. But the cover is like a dude in a Santa suit, but he doesn't have a hat on. He has a ski mask and like leather gloves. And he's holding a sledgehammer above a box full of bloody I don't know, Wrenches or something? I'm sure it's a crap slasher, but I got a soft spot in my heart based on the cover. And if you look at this movie on Amazon, it will tell you you can also watch Darker Shades of Elise.
I don't know what that is.
I'm just going to read the really quick synopsis here. Elise's life takes an exciting but dangerous turn from being a bored housewife when she meets an alluring stranger with a passion for sexual deviance who awakens her erotic side. I think it's a 50 Shades ripoff.
Found the adult section of Amazon Prime there, huh?
What is it's rated R. They're not going to show any dingus. And you remember, it's not porn unless you show penetration.
So remember, kids, for your thought of the day.
We had a discussion on Spooky Dudes after I watched a movie called Sinful Dwarf. Because there's the original cut of the film had 4 minutes in it that was removed from the theatrical cut. And the 4 minutes was like literal penetration, like people just literally having sex on screen. And I was like, yeah, I watched that cut of it. And Eric's like, it's porn. I was like, it's only 4 minutes. Worst porn ever. Because what's this other 90 minutes of shit?
That's cable.
Cable. Well, that's our list, guys. Just to recap here. At number 5, we had a tie between Christmas Evil and A Christmas Horror Story. At number 4, we had a 3-way tie between Krampus, Rare Exports, and Nightmare Before Christmas. I definitely recommend Rare Exports. It's on Amazon Prime streaming right now. Number 3 was Gremlins, and it probably would have won the listener survey had I included it. Number 2 was Silent Night, Deadly Night, and then number 1 was Black Christmas. And just to give you guys an idea of like the point spread here, like Black Christmas had 18 points and Silent Night, Deadly Night had 11. So there was a 7-point difference between first place and second place with us. So, and then the listener survey was basically the same results, except Silent Night, Deadly Night won over Black Christmas. Yep.
I think Silent Night, Deadly Night is, I mean, like just by title alone, right? Like, and I think people have more fond memories of that movie than is deserved in a way.
Oh yeah, I agree. Well, you know, Eric and I always lament over the end of the video store. You know, cause I was born in 81. Eric, when were you born? 81, 82?
83.
83. Oh, you youngin', you whippersnapper.
God, I'm the old guy on this podcast.
See, that's good. Now I'm not the old guy for a minute.
But I'm 78, so.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you definitely remember the video store then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we, on the Nerdy Laser podcast, we did an entire episode of fond video rental store memories. And it's it was definitely the most popular episode I've ever done on the Nerdy Laser. And it was a great, it was just me and my buddy Christy Petrillo talking about our memories of how great video stores were. And they were. They were great.
I have a deep feeling that there is a market for physical video stores to still exist. I see, like, there's a Slashback video that pops up in the L.A. in a, I can't remember the name, but it's like an oddity type store. And people literally will travel across the country to go to this. I feel like there's still people that will go to a video store.
In Sevierville, Tennessee, near Pigeon Forge, there actually is still a video store, Popcorn Video. It's still around.
There's one in the near Blue Ridge, Georgia. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a very, I could tell it was a mom and pop. It was very small, but it was enough for me to make a legal U-turn to turn around just to go in. And like, I went to a video store.
Well, and the reason these are around is porn, right? Like, that's got to be their.
That too, but I mean, I really
gotta,
miss walking on that beaded curtain.
I know.
The reason they're still around is because of porn?
I would think so, right? Like, because you can get movies anywhere. But if you want a full-fledged porn movie, you got to go to the fancy places like the video store.
Wow. Well, they, you know,
I mean, I would think. I don't know. I don't know how you. I mean, because let's be honest. Like, so we had a store called Hastings. Have y'all ever heard of that?
Heard of it. Never been to one.
It doesn't exist anymore, but it was a video store / bookstore / record CD store / everything. Like, it was a great store, but like ultimately it failed because like it's just so hard to rent movies. And I think the mom and pops have the edge where they can rent movies that other chains can't.
Could be.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I don't know why in this day and age. I mean, I got to be honest. If a rental store was down the street, if they had a gimmick, it's all about gimmicks, right? If they had VHSs, sure, I'd go check them out because I love watching VHSs. But if it was just DVDs, I mean, I can probably find most everything I need on, you know. So it depends. I don't know. I'd love to hear why a video store would still be needed.
I mean, it's because people collecting records and stuff. It's basically the VHS craze. It's that old and nostalgia physical media. It's, you know, it's the same way records came back. It's not going to take over, but there's a small enough niche there for it to survive in a small number.
I can see that, yeah.
You could be right, though, about the porn thing, because they say that porn helped determine what the physical media was, you know, what the mainstream physical media was going to be. So, like, back in the day when you had VHS or Betamax, porn was on VHS, so VHS survived. Betamax died.
Which is really dumb, because Betamax was a superior...
Yes, it was a better machine. Yes, I loved the Betamax.
The same thing happened when HD content rolled around. You could put porn on the Blu-ray format, but HD DVD was Panasonic, I think, came out with it, and they were like, nope, we're not going to have porn on here. Well, guess what? We got Blu-rays now. HD DVD is like Betamax. you're not going to find it or find anything to watch it on. So it's just, you could be right. It fills a niche. All right. Well, that was awesome. I think we beat Christmas horror into the ground. And we gave our listeners something cool to check out this holiday season. Richard, plug your stuff, man. Richard does some other podcasts. At least one of them's on the ESO network.
Two of them.
Two of them. There you go.
Yeah. See? So we got Nerdy Laser and the PWR Spot Show, which is wrestling. Nerdy Laser is just kind of everything. I've got some comic interviews with comic book artists on there right now, so check those out. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Nerdy Laser, and I have a link tree to all those sites and stuff, so I won't bore people too much. But the Assignment Horror Podcast is on SoundCloud, so that's a good link to this episode, because we do a lot of cool horror on there. We got Chopping Mall that we just did.
Oh, and one of my favorites.
Yeah, it was cool. And then we've got Christmas Evil coming up. And we've done some weird ones. We try to cover movies that aren't necessarily done. So we've got some like Blackula on there and check them out if you like this stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, Richard, thanks for joining us, man.
Oh, I appreciate you having me on. It's been fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Eric, you got anything to plug, dude?
No. Spooky dudes. Don't get spooky.
For those of you who don't know, I don't even know if I talked about it the last time I did a Vitamin Geek, but Eric and I do another podcast. It's strictly horror movies.
Which is not House of Horrors.
Yeah, that title, we had to... Yeah, it's too much. And I will tell you guys what the next episode coming out is. The next episode to publish will be December 13th. So if you're listening to this, it will be available now. And that is Eric's pick. We did a movie called Mandy with a little unknown actor named Nicolas Cage.
I want to see that movie so bad.
It's on Shudder.
A great way to wrap up.
Everybody check out Shudder. It's great.
This episode brought to you by Shudder.
I'm going to write them and just see if like Spooky Dudes can be a code so you can get a free month. I feel like we mentioned them enough at this point that we got to get something out of this. But yeah, Mandy will be out on December 13th. That is, well, if you're listening to this, it's probably the same day. But yeah, but we're doing Spooky Dudes one episode per week. It's very fun. Eric and I get along super well, and we like genre film a lot, so we have a lot of fun on Spooky Dudes. Check it out every Thursday in iTunes and all that other stuff. Anywhere you get podcasts, pretty much. I don't think we're on SoundCloud, though. Or maybe we are. What's the one that costs money?
Yeah, well, A lot of them cost money, but like SoundCloud is usually, it's the one that's hard. Yeah, you can put like an hour on there for free and then everything else.
Oh, I'm thinking about the one you pay a membership to listen to.
Podbean?
Yeah. No, no, it's not just for podcasts. It's mainly for music.
It's SoundCloud, I think.
No.
Spotify?
That's it. Spotify.
Oh, Spotify.
Yeah. I don't think we're on that.
I don't know how you get on that. I've not ever looked into it, but I know some of the podcasts I listen to are on it.
Yeah, I have no idea. iTunes is like by far the way I've seen most people get podcasts. So, or at least these shows, Apple stuff is like 90% of our downloads.
Yeah.
This is all behind the scenes shit. Sorry.
Richard, let me ask you a question. Does any of your podcasts at all, sponsored by Casper Mattress?
No, they're not.
Because I wanted to make a joke about them. I wish podcasters would stop trying to sell people Casper mattresses. It's getting where every single podcast I was listening to now, it's like, yeah, man, we had a great time. And also, you know what I had a great time? I had a great sleep in my new Casper mattress. It's the greatest. Like, it's like every show I listen to, Casper Mattress. It's a monopoly, I'm telling you. I'm trying to break it.
Comedy Bang Bang is sponsored by Lisa Mattress. They stopped advertising for Casper years ago.
Mattress, man.
Hey, I own a Casper mattress, and I'm not trying to annoy you, but the thing is legit awesome.
We were gonna buy one, and then we found this one. It's called Layla, but it's kind of the same thing. It's one of those in a box mattresses,
compressed memory foam.
Yes, I love it. Yeah. I sleep great on it.
I just sleep on old Bell Hay. I don't know what you old city folks.
Eric's got some cardboard and a little piece of newspaper. He's roughing it. All right, we got to sign off for this one. Guys, go to Facebook.com, search for Eric J. Williams Photography. He wasn't going to plug it. I will. Eric takes awesome pictures.
Just search at Geeky83 across everything, and that'll pull up me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, everything.
There you go. And check out Spooky Dudes, guys. If you like horror movies, if you don't, I don't know why you've listened to this far in the episode. Check it out, Spooky Dudes. Thanks again, Richard. Thanks again, Eric. And we'll see you next time, guys.
Hey, gang. Are you looking for another podcast to listen to? Well, you're in luck. The Nerdy Laser is a podcast, and we specialize in 90s nerd culture. But we don't leave anything out. If something is cool and nerdy, we will talk about it. So join myself, Richard Yule, and a variety of guests on the Nerdy Laser podcast, available on iTunes, Podbean, and the ESO Network.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.